Welcome to Story 49 on KNOM Radio. Story 49 is a monthly show that features people from all over the state of Alaska. I'm Emily Benick. This month, Story 49 is honoring Nome's gold rush history. Spencer McCluskey of Nome, Alaska, is our featured guest. Spencer is part of the modern gold rush. He moved to Nome and joined the mining community when he was just 18 years old. Now, at age 22, he is a year-round resident in Nome. He ice dives in the winter and owns and operates his own dredge in the summer. And yes, he does have a small part on Bering Sea Gold, but he says that the mining experience in Nome goes far beyond the television show. In this episode of Story 49, Spencer shares his personal passion for mining, how he has seen the mining community in Nome change since the Discovery Channel shows, and the joys and benefits of owning your own small business. Thanks for joining us.
My name's Spencer McCluskey. I'm from Myrtle Creek, Oregon. I've lived in Nome since November of 2010. I'm up here gold mining. I originally came up here doing construction on the new hospital and got laid off and went gold mining and been gold mining ever since. I love it. I've been dredging since I was like 11. A friend of mine down in Oregon's dad dredged, and I don't know, I guess just in middle school, my friend Kyle and I used to go with him all the time, and he taught us everything we could, or everything he could. I was already into mining a little bit. I had an aunt down in California that used to work at a mining supply store. And I used to go and hang out with her at work all the time. And my 8th birthday, my parents bought me a gold pan and a sluice box, and I've been doing it ever since. I mean, I remember I used to mow my neighbor's lawns and give my mom gas money to take me to the river so that I could go and find a little bit of gold. I never made any money at it, and definitely never thought of it as a career until I came up here. But once I came up here, I came up here doing construction and realized how big the mining community was up here, and realized that there were people actually, making their living off of it. And immediately that's what I wanted to do. I couldn't think of anything else at that point. I didn't even care about the job I had or any other jobs I might have in the future. All I wanted to do was go gold mining. That was 4 years ago. Yeah, this will be my 4th summer mining in Nome. And I have done other jobs. I mean, I did some mechanicking in Hawaii for a couple months and went and worked at a welding shop in Maryland for a few months last winter. And I've done a lot of different odd and end jobs, but gold mining is definitely my main source of income. I don't really want to work for somebody else, have somebody tell me what to do every day, and I definitely don't want to work for an hourly wage. It takes the excitement out of work when you go to work every day knowing exactly how much money you're going to make. Just the thrill of it and everything just keeps me coming back for more. I couldn't imagine doing any other job. I'm doing something different every day. The harder I work, the more money I make. I get out what I put into it. I don't have anybody over my head telling me what to do or anything like that. It's just the American dream, I guess you'd call it. It's just awesome.
Even though he's been mining since he was 8 years old, Spencer had a tough time when he first got to Nome.
My first summer mining in Nome, I was working for an individual that bought a really nice 10-inch dredge. And first day out, we were immediately on great gold. We were making awesome money. We were really excited, and a couple of the guys on the crew were out there, and they didn't realize the one pontoon was taking on water on the dredge. So we had 4 or 5 days worth of gold in the sluice, and we were doing great, and they didn't realize that one pontoon was taking on water and didn't pay enough attention to it. And by the time they realized it was too late, they pulled the anchors and started heading for town, and we got halfway to town and the boat capsized and we lost all of our gold. The dredge ended up destroyed and had to go and find a new job because there's nothing else we could really do. But we lost all of our gold, lost the dredge, and that definitely was a pretty big hiccup in our season. It was a pontoon boat that our dredge was on, and just one pontoon on one side was taking on water. It had a small hole in it, or a small leak. and we actually had pumps on board to pump it out. But when things start happening like that, it's pretty easy to make the wrong moves or to not think clearly, and that's just what happened, I guess. They couldn't get the pontoon pumped out and made it halfway to town, and a wave hit and flipped the boat over. I was actually in town when it happened. I was getting ready to go out for my dive shift to go dredging. So my dive partner and I jumped in a little lund, a little skiff, and headed out there. And those guys were actually standing on top of the bottom of the boat because the boat was upside down, the pontoon boat was upside down. So we threw them a rope, and they jumped in the boat, and we took them to town. And I ran back out in the skiff and started, gathering all of our wetsuits and everything that was floating around the boat. And then Sean Pomeranke came up with the Christine Rose and hooked a chain to it and drug the boat into shore for us. And we never repaired the boat. Still sitting there with holes in it, and all the motors and pumps and everything on board are destroyed. Thank God for Sean, though, for helping us.
Mining is a dangerous business. Just last month, Spencer suffered a serious injury on the job. And ice diving, he says, makes you contemplate your own mortality. Despite the danger, though, Spencer loves his work.
I was working on our hot water heater on mine and my friend's operation, and was just being arrogant and standing where I shouldn't have. The hot water heater had froze up. And our umbilical actually froze up, and it turned all the water inside the hot water heater to steam. And when it let our umbilical loose, I was standing right there to catch the steam. So I got second, third degree burns on 12% of my body. The burns from my belt line up to like halfway up my abdomen, and from my left hip all the way across to the backside of my right hip. It looked like I belonged on the set of The Walking Dead. It was pretty bad, just covered in blisters, and it's pretty nasty. So it was not a fun experience. Ice diving's pretty rough. It's freezing out there. You're really cold. You're in a wetsuit. When you're working topside, the wind just cuts through you, and you're cold the whole time. When you're under the water, you're under the ice, you have to worry about your airlines freezing up and your regulator freezing up, and worrying about how you're going to get back to the hole. And it's pretty scary. You realize how little you are in this world when you're down there, and then I guess you never really realize how precious your next breath of air is until you don't have it. It's a pretty scary experience, but it's worth it. You can't make money like that anywhere else, so I love it. The whole experience of living up here has been pretty exciting. Gold mining, I get to do a lot of things that nobody else I've ever met's been able to do, snow machining, and diving through the ice for gold, and going out and dredging, and just so much freedom up here.
Spencer is only a minor character on Bering Sea Gold, but the television show has definitely impacted his experiences with the mining community in Nome.
Being on Bering Sea Gold was definitely an experience. I'm glad I wasn't a big character in the show, so I'm not like all, people asking me for autographs and stuff like that. I haven't had anybody ask me. Actually, I did have one person ask me for an autograph. And when I was down in Oregon, I told him no, that I didn't sign autographs, but... I don't know, being on TV was weird. It's really weird sitting down on the couch and seeing your face on TV, but it was a pretty cool experience. I'd do it again. The film crews and the TV show actually has a pretty big impact on the boat. For most of the operations up here that are on the show, that's kind of what keeps them going. The little bit of money that they might make off the TV show helps out with fuel and building the dredge and stuff like that. So it's pretty good from that standpoint. But also it slows down the whole operation quite a bit, you know, having somebody there with a camera in your face, you know, asking you questions and wanting you to, you know, let them know before you do anything. That way they can get their shots. It really, really slows the whole operation down. And in my opinion, actually costs money. You know, if it's slowing you down and you're not spending as much time mining as you should, then you're losing money. Every minute counts out there. Summer's only so long. So, and the winter's only so long.
Spencer was a gold miner in Nome before the Discovery Channel launched its Bering Sea Gold and Bering Sea Gold Under the Ice series. He's seen Nome change quite a bit since the shows have become national and international television sensations.
I feel like the TV shows had positive and negative impacts. A lot of people have moved to Nome and came up gold mining because they saw it on the show. And good for those people, you know. This is a great adventure. It's pretty awesome to say that you came up to Nome, Alaska and went gold mining out in the ocean. But at the same time, the amount of people that are coming up here because of the show is taking an impact on the mining community and, you know, the entire community. So many people up here, it's hard to find housing. You know, there's people having to live on the beach and out at the man camp by Dredge 6. And you can't control what kind of people come up to Nome. You know, there's good and bad. Mining up here has changed a lot in the last few years. The summer of 2011, there were less than 30 dredges in the Nome Harbor. Last year, there were 189 docking permits filed. So that's a huge, huge, huge number of people that have come up here and started mining, and that makes it hard. You know, when the wreck areas are full of that many boats, you know, it's hard to find a spot to mine, and, you know, people get mad if you get too close, and you've got to be careful. So it's actually made a lot of the people that have been here for a few years, like myself, we're starting to move further and further from town, you know, where we're working, try to get further away from the big group of people. But, of course, as soon as you start going somewhere and go find your own gold, people are going to follow you. You can't keep secrets in this town. You know, people know as soon as you're doing good. And there's so many people up here that, you know, just spent their life savings to come up here and gold mine and aren't making it. And then as soon as they see, oh, these guys are doing really good, I'm going to go and jump right next to them. You know, they'll come and park around top of your spot and try to take all your gold. And, you know, it's not really anybody's gold, you know, it's just out there laying on the bottom of the ocean. But, you know, when you put all the effort in to go out there and find the pay streak, you know, find the good gold, and then just have somebody else come out there and all they had to do is just go look, oh, there's Spencer parked over there, I'm going to go park right next to him. It makes you a little mad. You know, there's so many people coming up here now trying to mine and everything, and I've met a lot of them. A lot of them, you know, haven't been able to make it. And most people that come up here to mine, you know, it's rough. It's a hard job. You've got to have some serious grit if you're going to go out and dive in the Bering Sea and, you know, make your own living. And you've got to be really self-motivated. And there aren't a lot of people that come up here that are self-motivated enough and have enough experience. You know, it's pretty hard to just buy a boat, come up to Nome, and think you're going to get rich. That's not how it works. It takes a lot of work to, you know, make a living up here doing this. It's definitely not for everybody, but I've made quite a few friends of just, you know, random guys that wanted to come up here and gold mine. And, you know, there's been a lot of great people that I've met. I've got friends all over the United States, all over the world, actually, just from working in Nome. You know, it seems like people from all over the place are coming up here and just trying it out. You know, most of them end up going home, and, you know, feel bad for a lot of them. Getting permits to do this is getting harder and harder every year. The Coast Guard's showing up more and more, doing their inspections, making sure that everybody's got life jackets and flares and everything on board, which that's actually a good thing. You know, the Coast Guard really never messed with us very much, and it's good that they're up here, you know, making sure people are being safe, and they're inspecting everybody's boats now to make sure they're seaworthy. You know, for a long time, people would go out there with just whatever they could find that would float, and you know, it's pretty dangerous, so having the Coast Guard here is good. You know, the permitting is getting harder and harder, and I think that's actually a good thing too, you know. It turns people away a little bit when stuff gets harder to do.
As a year-round resident of Nome, Spencer has made a special effort to participate in the Nome community.
I feel like I have a pretty good relationship with the town. You know, there are a lot of people here that don't necessarily like all the miners or the amount of people coming into town, but I feel like I got up here early enough that I'm not part of that big group of miners that just randomly showed up here and, you know, living down on the beach and raising hell. You know, I've got a lot of friends that are pretty big members of the community, and I've worked with and helped a lot of people up here, so I feel like I've got a pretty good relationship with the community.
Spencer became a small business owner when he was just 20 years old. He built his own dredge, which he now operates in the summer. He put a lot of time, hard work, and cash into his operation, but he says it was completely worth it in terms of both income and experience.
My second season in Nome, I quit working for other people, quit diving for other people, and I built my own dredge with a friend of mine. And a lot of people doubted me, you know, my dad and a lot of friends and stuff were like, man, you know, why are you building your own dredge when, you know, you're already making good money working for somebody else? And I guess I wanted to prove to myself and prove to everybody else that I could do it on my own. And the first day that we went out, we did 13 ounces in 5 hours. So that was a pretty incredible experience, you know, when you're down there diving, you know, first day on the water, we were down there and hit a really good spot, and just to, you know, see that amount of gold down there and then come up and look in the sluice box and, you know, trying to hold the excitement in so all the other dredges around you don't hear you hooting and hollering, you know, because they'll immediately know you're on good gold and come over and try to get close to you. So it was amazing. That was probably definitely one of my best dredging experiences. Yeah, a lot goes into making your own dredge. Well, there's a lot of people up here that don't build their own dredges, and, you know, to work in Nome and to, you know, mine for gold in Nome, you've got to know a lot of things. You've got to be a mechanic. You've got to be a welder. You've got to know how to do a lot of things. But I guess when you start building a dredge, the first step is get flotation. You know, get pontoons or a boat or whatever you're gonna put your dredge on. Then, you know, you've got to start gathering parts. You know, you need a sluice and jets and flare and hose and nozzle, and you've got to have a motor and pump and a compressor. And it's a lot of work. Even like my small, just recreational 6-inch dredge took me like $15,000 and a month and a half to build. So it's a lot of work, but my dredge paid for itself the first day I had it out. That year, gold was like at its highest. It was like $1,800 an ounce. So after assay and after, you know, they melt and process the gold, I was making about $1,400 an ounce. It's a lot of money. I had actually borrowed money to build my dredge, so most of that went, you know, back to paying off the loan. And I actually didn't get my dredge finished until like halfway through the season. So we only got like 30 days on the water, but we did really well every day we went out. But it seems like every year, you know, especially with a small dredge like mine, every year you're rebuilding stuff. You know, the salt water is so corrosive, you got to build new frame or fix your frame, and the motors and pumps don't last long, and your air compressors don't last long. It seems like it's just a constant battle of making upgrades and fixing stuff and repairing stuff. And, you know, you never stop putting money into your operation or fixing your operation. Well, owning your own operation is just, it's nice to work for other people and, you know, have them worry about the headache of fixing everything or finding people to fix the stuff and paying for fuel and worrying about permits and all that. But having my own operation, that's just, you know, I'm out there working for myself. I have nobody holding anything over my head. I don't have to answer to anybody. I wake up when I want to wake up. I go to work when I want to go to work. I get off whenever I want. I can do whatever I want, and, you know, I don't have to rely on anybody else. If I'm not making money, it's something I'm doing wrong, not something that somebody else is doing wrong. And it's just, you know, what I can do, it's just me making my own living, and it's an awesome feeling. You you gotta be a really self-driven person. I mean, there's a lot of mornings I wake up and wish I could just sleep in, and I can't. I could just sleep in. I could lay in bed all day if I wanted, but you've got to be driven. You got to wake up every day and tell yourself, you know, that you're going to go and do something. You're going to go and make something out of your life, and nothing, good things don't really come to those that wait. You know, good things come to those that work their butts off and never give up. You know, you just got to wake up every day and just push on, keep going. And you know, sometimes it's really hard, you know, when you're not making money. There's been a couple times I've had to sell stuff to, you know, to go home for a little bit, or had to borrow money, but I always make it back up, always pick myself back up and keep going.
Although Spencer loves gold mining, the job isn't always easy. Has he ever thought about quitting? Absolutely. But then he remembers that he's doing a job he loves. And he's got some advice for those people who are just coming up to Nome to get started.
I've thought about quitting a lot. It seems like every year that it crosses my mind. You know, I've got a few jobs down in Oregon I've been turning down since I've been up here. You know, my dad does construction, and he expected me to go to work for him with my brothers as soon as I graduated. And I turned around and see, Dad, I'm going up to Alaska. So sometimes it's pretty hard, you know, when things get rough and the weather's bad and we're not mining for weeks at a time, or, you know, when we're not finding very good gold, it definitely crosses my mind to just, you know, quit and go home. It'd be easier just to go and punch a clock and go and make a consistent wage. But every time when I sit there and start thinking about it, that's not what I want to do. You know, I want to be up here mining. That's what I came up here for. It's been my dream. I mean, like I said, my 8th birthday, my parents bought me a gold pan, so I think this is where I belong. Any advice I could give to somebody coming up to Nome, wants to go gold mining? Make sure you've got a backup plan. I mean, I hope you do. I wish everybody the best luck, but there's so many people up here trying to do it, and there's only so much gold out there. You know, there's definitely gold out there, and you can definitely make a good living out here, but it's a hard life. It's a really hard life, and don't set yourself up to get stranded up here. If you do come up here and go mining or want to start your own business or build your own dredge, just don't let anybody tell you you can't. Don't give up and just work every day. Nobody can look down on you or say you didn't try if you woke up every day and worked your butt off.
When I asked him where he sees himself in the next 5 years, Spencer says that he'll still be mining. His mining career, he said, is just getting started.
In the next 5 years, I see myself up here gold mining, probably. I want to keep doing it. I feel like, you know, the first couple years have been pretty rough, you know, learning the ins and outs of what's going on up here and getting a feel for everything and getting equipment built and bought and everything else. But I think the longer I do it, the more I'll progress. You know, I'm only 22 years old, so the way I see it is, you know, I spent the first four years learning and made a little bit of money and survived, and I see it kind of like college. You know, I'm ready to start my career now. I still want to go to college, though. I want to go to the Alaska School of Mines and get my mining engineering degree. I really like building mining equipment. You know, when I'm not mining, that's one of the big things I'm doing is mechanicking and welding and fabricating, building dredges for other people and working on dredges and wash plants and boats and all kinds of stuff. So I really think that if I had a mining engineering degree, that building and selling dredges or building and selling mining equipment would be a great side business as well as mining. You know, you can make pretty good money, and I feel like I can build some pretty good mining equipment. You know, I feel like I could build equipment that could make a lot of money and that people would want to buy. Just got to have a mining engineering degree to do it. My dream would be to come up here and mine and in the off season, you know, have a big shop and be building and selling dredges and selling mining equipment. But I guess we'll see what happens.
And Spencer adds, he's here in Nome to stay.
I really like the freedom of Nome. There's not a lot of people here. You know, you just drive out in the country and nobody really tells you what you can or can't do. There's just so much freedom. You can do so much here that you can't do down the lower 48. It's just a lot of freedom up here. That's the biggest thing I like about it. And it's such a great community. I think, you can walk around town and say hi to every person you see and everybody would answer you back. But I love it up here. I don't think I really want to live anywhere else.
Thank you to Spencer McCleskey of Nome, Alaska, for sharing his experiences gold mining over the past 4 years. Spencer continues to live and work in Nome, Alaska. Story 49 is a production of KNOM Radio Mission. The music for this episode was provided by Jason Shaw and Mystery Mammal. Thanks for joining us today. If you would like to participate in Story 49, please call KNOM at 907-443-5221 or email story49@knom.org. Story 49, sharing your voice, your story, your Alaska.